Good Monday to you, football faithful. Welcome to the Soccer Central podcast. James Sharman here alongside Brendan Dunlop for the last time this season. As mentioned before, we might still get to some Euro podding at some point. We'll see. Nothing's confirmed. We hope to. But we're wrapping the season up today. No Dobby. He was at that EDM festival in New York this weekend. As far as I know, he's not dead.
Really? Because I saw some pictures and that giant, scary green owl monster on the stage.
I saw some pictures too, yeah.
Thought it ate him.
Yeah, possible.
I mean, that's terrifying. You think about those events, like, why do they do that? Big, terrifying, giant monsters?
It's fine if you're
going
there of normal mind.
Uh-huh.
But those kind of things could potentially scare someone.
That's what I meant.
That might be less than normal.
Right.
Given the culture of electronic music.
Less than legal-minded.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Not that would be anyone that we know.
No, of course not.
Certainly not.
Like that big owl could be swooping down to attack someone if you're otherwise...
Minded.
Inebriated.
Right.
Minded.
That's exactly my thought. I would be absolutely terrified. Maybe it's a deterrent.
Maybe that's the point, though.
You know? Like...
To scare people off, not to do it.
Like, you could do this in life, but then you're going to go to prison. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, hey, you could be disabled-minded or whatever the term you used was.
Yeah. Just think, kids, if you take an illegal recreational pharmaceutical, that owl might eat you.
Right.
Don't do that.
Deterrent to me.
Isn't that why a dead mouse wears that mouse head?
So that he can be hidden?
Terrifying.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
I'm assuming.
I have no idea.
Why else would he wear it?
Is there going to be some like correlation here to relegation or Arsenal finishing?
No, I'm
really?
Just,
I was hoping
it's all
for.
Surrounding Dobby and his well-being. Like I said, I'm assuming he's alive. Haven't heard otherwise.
Nope.
His brother was down there with him.
This is almost like that terrifying day in which you guys teased me for not showing up, and then come the end of it, you actually were quite nervous.
I was concerned that day because there was no response from you.
That was
a
big moment in our
head died.
That was a big moment in our relationship where I realized it wasn't, you know, just I was your annoying protege.
I would have, if you died, I would have been upset. It would have been a rough day. Would have moved on, but
I don't actually know how to move on from that conversation. No. But
well, listen, let's talk about what was. An incredible Sunday. First of all, and you'll appreciate this, Max Verstappen wins his first Grand Prix at the tender age of 18, the youngest ever Grand Prix winner.
He's been driving for 2 years.
Yeah, it's incredible, right?
It's insane.
I mean, I'm not closely following F1 these days. I follow it from the periphery, but that's amazing. He wins that, right? Andy Murray then wins Italian Cup, whatever, right? Wins that. Then the footy starts, and we're getting excited for the final weekend, and then suddenly word emerges from Old Trafford that in fact something's been found, a suspicious package, which is actually I think movie number 4 in the David Seaman trilogy. There's actually 4 movies in the David Seaman trilogy.
I love that you brought it back. There was 247 as of last
I think so. Suspicious package. So that game's abandoned. And a lot of confusion, a lot of people making fun of it on Twitter, which I thought was pretty dangerous because who knows, that could have been a really serious situation.
Sure.
Turns out is actually a fake bomb left over from a security drill, which is incredible.
Yeah. This is the same police force is going to take the brunt of this. The same police force that ran a fake suicide bombing drill in a major mall.
That's right.
Bad month for the Manchester police.
Yeah. Because the guy prior to the fake suicide vest blow up was screaming Allahu Akbar. Wasn't really appropriate.
No.
Yeah, so that's pretty embarrassing. Although I'll give United a lot of credit, though. They're actually going to refund everyone's ticket and give them free tickets to the replay on Tuesday, which is great. However, one guy I saw in the news actually traveled from Sierra Leone.
Oh,
wow. I hope he's staying around.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the thing that Dicchio and Forrest said on the broadcast as well, you know, and this was before it had come out that it was, in fact, just a scare and, you know, what it actually was. And they said, from a comedy point, you know, there's a lot of guys in that room furious because they've booked holidays either for that night or the next day.
So true.
And, you know, you're for United, you're obviously thinking about a cup final and you don't want to be hanging on to this one league match, which, let's be honest, they need to beat Bournemouth 18-0 in order for it to mean
possible.
Anything.
It's possible. The way Rashford's playing, the new England call-up, we'll get to the England squad later in the show, but 18, differential, might need more than 18 goals.
I would love if Van Gaal just says, go out there and score as many as you can, and then obviously in turn concede a many. If it ends like 6-5, that would be a pretty good cap to the season.
For the first time this year, he starts a reckless formation, a reckless attacking abandon.
Right. Well, put Rooney at centre back. Let's see how versatile he really
can be.
He
might be there for England, actually.
Right.
Again, we'll get that later.
You know, has there ever been a goalkeeper that's played out? Because I feel like De Gea deserves it.
Apparently, Edwin van der Sar was so good in attack, he could have been a professional striker. And apparently in training, he would just boss the field.
He would have been a terrifying striker.
Massive.
First of all, how many 7-6 strikers do you remember?
Not since Zigic of Birmingham City.
Oh, yeah, Nikola Zigic. He was right. Remember
like
him?
6'8", terrible player. Oh. Remember we used to have a good friend who's now dead to us who hated tall strikers?
Yeah.
And Zigic didn't he go to Villa in the end?
No, Birmingham.
I know it's Birmingham, but I thought he went to Villa as well. No?
I don't remember that.
Maybe not.
I think he got buried at Birmingham.
Crouchy was at Villa, of course.
Yes.
Another freak of nature.
But there was another tall idiot that was linked. I forget who it was.
Andy Carroll.
No.
I'm all out of tall strikers now.
Yeah, there's not that many.
Linked with who, though? Linked with
Villa. That's where I think you got this conversation from.
The Crouchy goal.
Yeah, and, but it might have been.
I thought it was Sigish. I thought he was linked with him at least. No, I remember having fun with the guy that's.
Maybe Crouchy was linked to come back. I think that could have been it.
Well, maybe he could be now because he's not playing at Premier League level anymore. So I think maybe bringing Crouchy Goal back to Villa Park for a league championship campaign might be just the tonic.
Oh, boy.
How about Jack Grealish, by the way? He set a record.
Yeah.
16 games he's played this year.
Mm.
Lost them all.
Yeah. Top class guy. It was funny because if you look up, everyone's putting together a best 11 and, you know, you look at some of the others and if you Google Premier League best 11, you get a bunch of, you know, as of this season or as of right now, and it's the end of December is the bulk of them. And there's one like the best 11 players so far and what will be the best 11 to watch. And some of the names in there, like Stones in there, Barkley's in there, but it's like Grealish. He's got like five.
Is he still considered a big hope for the future?
I don't think so at all. Has to be. Oh, I think villains have to be absolutely devastated.
But would he be a player that a team might try and get? As a potential star, young guy, probably affordable right now.
Might be unfair in saying this, but to me, he's very on the lines of Johnny Manziel.
Really?
Whereas you rated him really high, you thought he had a lot of potential, he's certainly got some skill, but it doesn't translate for the course of your full match, and it doesn't translate in the team setting as well as you would need it to or hope it to. And then his head, I don't think, is quite there. And that's unfair, too. I'm saying it from this side of the pond. It's been a horrible season. Who really, you know, it's not exactly a room full of leaders this year. What up, Julian? You know?
But less than a year ago, we're having debates about will he commit to England?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be an England international.
Well, he's certainly
less than a year ago.
Certainly not going to France. That's for sure.
He certainly isn't. No.
Would have had a better chance if he stuck with Ireland.
He had more chance of getting there than perhaps Mark Noble, but we'll again get to that later in today's show.
Oh, Mark Noble.
But Villa lose 4-0 to Arsenal, allowing Arsenal to pip Spurs.
Mm.
St. Totteringham's day was late this year, but as we've come to expect, it comes with Arsenal finishing above Spurs in the table. Spurs relinquishing the lead. 5-1 loses to Newcastle. It seems to me Spurs are a team that's just run out of gas.
I told you that they weren't for real. Didn't I?
Still third's pretty good, isn't it?
I was saying it forever. Yeah, third's pretty good, except the fact that you nearly won the title, or should have won the title. They collapsed under the pressure that we all expected Leicester to, you know, fall under. I mean,
it's a young team against a veteran team, right?
Completely understandable there. And I wouldn't even go so far to say a collapse, but clearly they dropped the ball towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then you see them go to Newcastle and, like, just get obliterated like that? That was pretty shocking.
Are you more shocked in Spurs losing to Newcastle 5-1, or are you more shocked in Newcastle beating Spurs 5-1? Because
Newcastle have shown zero
heart all year. They've been dreadful. They're going down. They've been relegated, and they put that performance in. I'd rather, if I'm a Newcastle fan, see a terrible performance to end the season. You see that, and you think, fellas,
you were capable
of going down. Yeah. Exactly. We're good enough to stay up.
Yeah. Well, they should feel quite confident going down with Villa. It's not like they have a threat down there. Newcastle being relegated is one of the worst things to happen to Villa since being relegated.
Yeah. More
don't you think?
Yes. Good point.
Absolutely.
I never thought of that. That's a very good point, actually.
Who's
in a better position? It depends who's sticking around, right? Because a lot of those Magpies players are leaving. I'm sure they got clauses in their contracts. Mm. Probably fewer Villa players are wanted by anyone. I mean, they're going to try and ditch them, obviously. They've got to rebuild that team.
Yeah. They really do have to build that team. Whoever Damian Camoli appoints, whenever Damian Camoli is appointed in charge of everything. I'm terrified of the season. I just can picture myself waking up every Saturday morning, or not waking up, in fact, listening to it on the web subscription that I paid 70 quid for and watching, you know, some team that I'm going to try and be attracted to. I actually had this conversation on the desk the other night, and I said, I think that the team that I will never cheer for another team, so don't start with the Johnny Football crap.
Okay. Johnny Football.
You know, there's a void now, a television void that will not exist for me. It needs to be filled. And okay. If there's, you know, one team I may prioritize in watching, it comes from a manager I really enjoy.
Can I guess?
Now that Jose Mourinho is gone.
It's not going to be Pep. Don't tell me Pep.
No, it's going to be Liverpool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, I would support that. I would.
I love Jurgen Klopp. I'm so curious to see the summer that he has and see what he can do with this squad, the full off season, see where he takes them preseason, how exotic of a destination they go training in, maybe Iceland.
See, you make a compelling argument for any new fan of the game. If you're going to pick a team, right, or see, what I don't understand, when you see these hipsters out there, right, and they start following football, and they pick a crap team because, oh, well, you know, it's got to be real. But you're never actually planning on ever going over there to watch this team play, right? So your only way to watch this team is on TV.
Yeah.
Why would you pick a crap team, right? If you're new to the sport and you have no plans of watching this team in England, and you're driven purely by who's on television, you surely it makes sense to support a bigger team that's going to be on TV, like a Liverpool or a United, I'll even say any big club. I just don't understand these idiots. Oh, no, I'm a huge Brighton fan. Why? Well, my I had a friend that went there once. Well, are you
for
go
university,
over there?
No. For 1 year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Are you going to ever go over? You got plan? No. So why? Mm. Why wouldn't you pick a big team that'll be on TV every single week that you can see in the Champions League potentially, or the Europa League, has some interesting players and a really fun manager? Why wouldn't you?
But think of the logo, you know? What team did you say? Brighton Albion?
Yeah, yeah. And all respect to Brighton and Hove, but I mean, right. And they might come up. It's possible. But come on.
But you can see, you know, there's we're talking about hipsters here, right? So there's like some thought to this, that it could end up in a tattoo of some sort, like maybe in a half sleeve. And I mean, dual meaning. It looks like you're just a clean guy. It's the Dove logo.
Yeah.
And for those that know, imagine, you know, you're the Brits on holiday. What do they always bring? Football shirt and aloe vera, right?
Very important.
You take
essential.
Off your shirt, you mildly tanned North American.
Yep.
And you've got Brighton and Hove Albion on the outside of your other weird art. That's a pretty good conversation starter.
I suppose it is, yeah.
What'd you say?
It's a conversation starter for sure, and a conversation finisher.
Did we have this conversation about new fans? I told you that I went to New York for the weekend, and I watched the Arsenal match. I forget who they were playing now. That 12 o'clock match was in the bar.
And stuff,
so the bar was packed, and the majority of people in the bar, I would say 60%, seemed to be like university aged, hungover. And I was quite impressed that they had come in numbers and droves. And there was, you know, people wearing just red shirts, and you can tell there was friends of friends. That there was a few questions being asked as people were still curious and coming into it. And you know, they all had very American accents. And then when the chanting started, I felt like I was in an English pub.
Yeah, some of these English
accents.
Come on, Arsenal. Really annoys me.
Where did that come from? And then the guy turns around and goes, ah, man, you go to the Hamptons this week? I think so. Oh, okay. Cool.
I don't like it at all. Don't fake your accents.
I'm the only one sitting there. Who's that directed at, eh?
not you. Oh, myself, actually, okay. Because of the jokes and there's belief by some idiots that, in fact, I fake my accent. And Tim and Sid don't really help that.
No,
they don't. But, yeah, like, if you're going to do a chant, okay, do a chant. That's fine. But don't fake your accent.
However, though.
Somebody's saying, go Leafs, go, guys.
But you don't know what it's like to be us. And, you know, obviously it's different there in the majority in this bar, in the majority. But when I went to Villa Park for the first time and I was yelling, come on, Villa. I felt ridiculous.
Well,
to be
so
honest.
You should have done.
So it just became
a muffle.
At least
you're being authentic. At least you're being genuine and you are who you are, right?
Wow.
Rather than saying, you know, come on, Villa. However they sound in Birmingham.
Yeah. That's actually pretty close. Well, there's clearly as much energy as you just displayed there as well. If we're talking this season.
I'll give Villa the fans this weekend credit, man. They took it in good spirit. Mm-hmm. They were cheering corners and stuff like they've won the World Cup, right? And they're all the Grim Reapers. See all those guys in the Grim Reaper outfits? It was pretty good, actually.
Same result as the FA Cup final that I witnessed at Wembley.
That's right. We're 4-0, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's worth the money, wasn't it?
Oh, how different things can go in a year, eh?
So the football happened, and then going back, because I got distracted horribly here, but the Sunday that was, right? So you got Verstappen winning, we got Andy Murray, we got all this crazy football happening.
The fact that you wake up that bloody early is terrifying.
Choice. And then you have, obviously, the Raptors winning game 7.
Oh,
and then you
got
the Batista's punch. Got quite the on chin, quite the cheek on him, hasn't he?
Did he ever? There's a couple of boxers that would have fallen
for sure,
like a sack of potatoes.
Frank
taking that
Bruno
punch
would not have survived that.
Oh, Rougned Odor, Dana White just called.
But that, what a great Sunday though, sport, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Like from the beginning of the early morning to the late afternoon. I didn't watch any sports in the evening. Anything decent happened?
Well, there is a hockey game, and hockey is very
Blues,
important.
Sharks beat the Blues. Blues beat the Sharks.
The Blues beat the Sharks 2-1.
Right, yes. I didn't watch it. I had to turn off the sport. I watched so much sport yesterday.
Well, the fact that you woke up at the crack of dawn to watch Giro Italia was first, then you watched the Spanish Grand Prix?
Yeah. I didn't watch the entire Spanish Grand Prix.
Oh, okay.
Saw snippets at the end.
I find it increasingly difficult to watch a complete 2-hour broadcast.
Do you?
And it's unfortunate. And you know what it comes from? A combination of things. One, it's not as entertaining anymore. It's always the same too, although it wasn't this week. And B, I think in watching other sports and just having to incorporate life in your sports consumption, I've come to a point where I can consume sports without needing to stand in front of the television and actually watch it.
Yep.
So when the Raptors game was going on, once they started running it up, I put the radio on and I'm in the kitchen making food.
Right.
Because it just makes sense.
Yep.
And you can run it in your mind and you just can't do that with Formula
You can catch up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you can't do it.
Even though the broadcasts are beautiful.
They're very well done.
Very well done. Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of sport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I mean, I'm not sure how it is nowadays, but overtaking isn't what it once was.
Absolutely not.
Right? And that makes it somewhat predictable,
mm-hmm.
we say. Unless you've got an 18-year-old kid winning. Was he pole? On the pole?
No.
He wasn't. So it was some overtaking.
It was when the Mercs were, and they collided with each other and ran each other off.
Oh, there you go. That's what we won. That's
I haven't watched it yet. I've PVR'd it, but then I had to do the highlight pack, so it spoiled it for me.
Yeah.
I have a tough time finding another 2 hours in the day when I want to can sit there because it requires your full attention, much like this podcast does, I'm sure. How many of you people can work out while listening to this podcast? Actually, do you get tweets about that?
Because I find it hilarious. Sometimes people are saying, this is what they listen to when they're crunching iron.
Could you listen to a couple of idiots like us talking while you're working out?
There's no chance.
What do you listen
to?
Maybe
when I'm hitting the heavy bag, I could. It makes me angry and frustrated and aggressive.
Hmm. Is it like a three-letter podcast? What are you listening to?
No. If I was to listen to a podcast when I'm working out.
Would you listen to yourself?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't listen to my... I rarely listen back to this podcast. Occasionally I do. Very rarely. No, when I'm working out or running, it's got to be music, really.
I can't.
I've tried podcasts. I've tried radio. It just doesn't get me going. It's a struggle as it is to get around those hills, up those hills, around those corners. I need to... listen to some music.
We're still talking about driving or are you working out again?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing anymore, what I'm talking about. I'm looking at some tweets here. Anything? Not much about the season itself. A lot about England's squad and a lot about, I asked about Spain yesterday. But let's get back to the England, shall we? The other results from the weekend. Everton, they look great. By the way, Arsenal, Giroud scores 3 goals. I see Piers Morgan before the match said, it'd be typical today if Olivier Giroud scores 3 goals. He's done nothing all year, but scores 3 goals in a meaningless match. Boom, hat-trick. Leicester, Chelsea, 1-1 there. Nice to see Ranieri getting the guard of honour.
Yeah.
And the fans serenading him.
Nice for him.
We should mention, of course, City got their point against Swansea. They are in the Champions League, unless, of course, United score 18 goals against Bournemouth.
In which, of course, if you listen to this Tuesday night,
how
irrelevant is this podcast?
Even more than usual.
If you're still listening now, I'm quite impressed,
more than
to be
usual.
Honest.
Stoke beat West Ham in the end, so the old Europa League connotations are somewhat interesting, given that United can still qualify as is in 6th place, but also in the FA Cup next week if they take care of Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm.
Palace, by the way, obviously not a good season. And remember when they signed Emmanuel Adebayor?
Yeah, I actually said
hammering him. What a stupid signing!
They'd be quite fine with him.
1 goal.
Yeah.
But they survived.
Give him the start against at Wembley, though. I mean, God, he deserves it.
Oh, yeah. He works right? so hard, doesn't he?
He'll tell you he deserves it.
He works so hard.
I could see him doing something spectacular, though. One goal and he'd run to the other end, right? Remember when he did that?
Against Arsenal.
In that match against Arsenal?
Yeah, didn't he get banned for that, that for inciting the crowd?
Hey, he got a fine, I think, didn't he?
Was it?
He might have got a match ban, but yes, it was absolutely a safety concern. And
yeah.
I mean, I remember watching it, you know, and as a neutral, it's just, oh, wow, you don't see that often. It's one of those, but to be there, I would have been terrified.
You wonder how things may have been different had he stayed at Arsenal for both himself and Arsenal, because he was a really very good striker for Arsenal.
He was. And it was his moment in the spotlight for City was so brief.
Yeah, it was. He didn't do much there.
Right? I mean, he left Arsenal with 25. Maybe 26.
Let's find out.
Had like the two seasons sort of at City, then was phased out with Mancini.
Yep.
Which pretty
quick.
Which
was also on his volition too, right?
Right.
He wasn't happy.
And he was at Real for a minute.
Yeah.
Fitted well.
Let's have a look here.
Real to me are such the enigma because they've thrived for so long with the Arsenal model of front men. They have one Frenchman who they think is the guy. And when he doesn't deliver, the goals come from elsewhere.
Yeah,
there's like someone from the academy who you've never heard of or you can't pronounce because their letters represent different sounds in the English language.
So here is Arsenal,
look at the USA.
104 league appearances, 46 goals, right? That's very close to prolific status, right?
Yeah.
Right? At City, actually, 34 starts, 15 goals.
Hmm.
But just 34 appearances, right?
In the league. How many years?
3 years. Well, 2009 to 2012, parts of those.
Right.
Then went to Real, scored 5 and 14 on loan. Then, of course, went to Spurs on loan.
Oh, right, yeah.
Remember, did really well.
With ADD,
Sherwood,
right,
wasn't it? 17 goals and 33 appearances.
Right.
And then went to Spurs full-time, 18 and 59, which isn't awful.
Yeah.
But it's not up there with his previous score lines. And then Palace, one goal in 7 appearances.
I believe I'd said on one of these podcasts, if it was the start of the season or before the transfer window closed, that Villa opened the checkbook. He wants $100,000 a week. Give it to him because he'll score you the goals to keep you up. It couldn't even score 2 goals for Palace in half a season.
Yeah.
Now, is that because he didn't have a full season of training?
Probably.
Is that because Palace can't move the ball forward?
Did you see him at Palace? I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Tall and lanky before. Mm-hmm. He definitely looked to me as if he's carrying a few more pounds than he was before.
Well, he's working out with Akinfenwa. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. The guy from, where was he?
Gillingham?
He played Liverpool in the FA Cup, right?
Yeah. He played from Wimbledon.
Was it Wimbledon?
But I don't know if he played for them at that moment.
AFC Wimbledon?
Yeah. Who are battling Accrington Stanley in the League Two playoffs.
Accrington Stanley! Yeah.
Who are they? Smallest budget in all of England. Mm-hmm. Almost.
How do you know this stuff? Where have you seen this?
No idea. Well, because I'm a keen researcher.
Oh, okay.
We've been through this before. Relentless research.
That's the reason.
Dunlop. That's the nickname. What was I on about?
I don't know.
League Two. Accrington Stanley. Yeah. So they missed out on automatic promotion by like a goal. It was like a last second goal, their last match of the season. Left them in third or the playoff places. And then they lost a late first leg against Wimbledon.
Right.
And now are in the passenger seat again.
But he was a massive human being.
Akinfenwa.
Akinfenwa.
Yeah. Are you looking him up?
No, I'm not.
Oh, look.
Hey, Alison Bender on ESPN here. I like Alison Bender.
Sportsnet's Alison Bender, or you may have seen her holding a Sportsnet mic.
She has, yes. Also an ESPN mic, as she is at this moment in time.
She basically will work for anyone. She's a mercenary, is what you're saying.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good for her.
As most football people are. Current team, AFC Wimbledon.
Oh, nice.
Mm.
And what's his current weight?
What's his current weight, as per Wikipedia?
100 and...
Why isn't weight listed? Height's listed.
Huh?
Height's listed. Why isn't... I don't know why weight's listed.
Just he's a massive human being.
Look him up on Twitter. I'm sure he's tweeted it. Buy one of his BMO shirts. It has nothing to do with the bank. Beast mode.
On the opposite range of human being and their stature, Mikel Arteta retires from playing. He's 34 now.
Bit quiet.
Very quiet. He was some player at Everton.
Remember when you and the other guy we used to work
dead to us?
Was begging for him to play for England? Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah, because he hadn't been capped by Spain at that point.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't think, was he ever? I don't believe that he was ever.
He may not have been. Mm. Let's have a look, shall we? Love this.
Well, remember that midfield, right? He wasn't going to get in. Well, for Spain, he wasn't going to get in there with.
No, but I'm wondering.
Xavi and Iniesta, any of those?
Nope. He's every age grade. U16, 17, 18, 21. For Spain, but couldn't get in there. He really was at the wrong time, wasn't he?
Because
if not for
devastating.
A different era, he would have got a lot of caps. He would have been great for England too.
He was a great player.
He was.
He was great for Everton.
Never made it, you know, the greater Arsenal, although he was club captain, so obviously very respected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a true professional. He's getting into coaching now. I think he'd be a fantastic manager.
Yeah. Very well dressed on the sidelines.
He'll look great. He'll be Pochettino-esque.
Yeah, I would put him maybe even higher in the. I put
this,
him in
this higher?
The Jose Pep.
Yeah,
Pep class.
You put him above.
Roberto Martinez has always been exceptionally well dressed.
The formerly of Everton, yeah,
right.
He finally got fired.
The manager formerly known as Coffee's boss.
He does look good in the sidelines. Yeah, you put Poch below those guys.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, because that's still his mom tells him to dress, and like he looks okay, but it's
yeah,
it never seems like the high end stuff. You know, Pep used to come out with the cashmere sweaters, and he'd have the tie that wasn't a real tie, was just a tie top.
You know who looks really good on the sidelines? Robbo, Carl Robinson. White caps.
Yes.
He looks excellent.
He's in that category.
He's got the white trim on the shoes.
Yeah.
Like, solid.
If
like,
Dobby,
world-class dress sense.
Well, or same shoes that you have, is what you're saying.
These ones? No, not different.
With the white trim in the bottom?
Yeah, these have white trim in the bottom, but they're different shoes.
Okay. But that's the same style in which you are speaking to, yes?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
But like the dress boot with the athletic sole.
That's
with the
right.
White bottom.
Yeah, like the hybrid.
Okay.
It's a hybrid shoe boot trainer.
Much like many would describe Major League Soccer as a hybrid league in comparison to what Robbo was used to. Were you at BMO Saturday night?
No. I'm going this Wednesday and Saturday.
Oh, but, as am I.
I missed.
And Saturday. Wow, yeah. You live the life.
Oh,
hey?
Don't I
got to get your schedule.
You going Wednesday too?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move Wednesday. Give us some beers.
Be one of the only games, one of exactly two matches that I'll get to go using
Where's
my
your,
season tickets this year.
What section?
In the supporters section.
Oh, yeah?
In the
southeast?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm southwest. So I'm not far from there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We won't meet up.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
We often
for those of you listening. Well, I was trying to make it sound dramatic and entertaining. Mm. You know,
Robert looks very good. I think if I was a manager, I think I'd be the Jurgen Klopp. I'd be the tracksuit manager.
Yeah?
I really think I will. I thought about this a lot, probably too much.
Huh.
Often going to bed at night, I'll, you know, recap the day in my mind and then I'll always come to, what would I wear if I was a football manager?
You know, in the 10 years I've known you, you've never expressed an interest in managing. Is this because of the offspring that you've spawned?
No.
And
I still,
you're like,
I still
listen,
have no interest.
Bits.
I'm just saying, had I chosen that path in my life?
How, as a dad, though, how do you still have no interest?
What, coaching?
Yeah.
I might, one day, perhaps. But coaching 6-year-old girls, I don't think what you wear on the sidelines is as important as if you are coaching the Premier League.
Yeah.
You'd be wearing a suit, though, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Top notch.
Absolutely.
It would be tailored. Each one would be custom. Mm. But the problem with the managerial box there is the turf is different. So usually it's like that black bits turf,
yep.
Which would be horrible in the sun. And you'd get, and it'd get in your leather, it would be brutal. But then if you were on grass at subpar grounds, let's say you're managing in the championship.
Get a dirty cuff to your pants.
I would be managing my team. They'd be in the championship. And then you'd have like dirty manager boxes that you'd be stepping in and you'd be ruining your leather and it'd be raining all the time.
The rookies in the boot room cleaning your shoes for you.
The overhang doesn't extend to the manager's box, but I would be the guy in there, you know, standing there. Like Kiki Sanchez Flores will stand in the rain. Like Wenger would stand in the rain.
But you'd also be carrying an umbrella. You'd be
no,
Molly with a bro.
No. Absolutely not.
For sure.
No, I would just choose my moments in which to step out of the dugout.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
I'm assuming it would be a world-class dugout, not one like, let's say, Yankee Stadium, in which you literally have to hurtle over the advertising boards.
Yeah, I know. Get a new stadium. Jeez.
I saw the Vancouver match when I was there in New York, and it was a bit surreal. Mm-hmm. It's the third time I'd seen soccer in a legendary baseball stadium. I've been to Fenway twice, never seen the Red Sox. But to see it at Yankee was different because Yankee's considerably newer. I was also sitting behind home plate. View not the best.
Yeah, then that's, I believe, is where the press box is too, right?
Yeah.
Jerry was saying,
which is in the,
saying
so it's in the corner.
Full games, you're tucked away in the corner. So when there's an attack at the other end, you just can't really see much.
Think if you've ever been to a match and thought, I would love to be closer to the halfway line, but you're in the corner, and then try calling the match there. That's got
to
be one of
the
biggest
best place
challenges.
To watch a game, though.
Watch a
As
game,
a fan.
But to call a
no,
game?
Not to call, no, not to call a game.
I think I'd rather be in the end to call a game. Wouldn't
probably.
You?
Yep.
If you had the option of being in a proper gondola at the halfway line or being directly in the end, I'd rather be in the end.
Yeah, perhaps.
We used to work with a guy who used to analyze matches from only
from
the end.
But calling games, though, you want to have a more of a, I think, an idea of the general.
Yeah, but the corner with the distance that you've got?
The corner, forget corner. I agree with that. Yeah, I'm the same. But center line, obviously, to call a game.
Well, you know, if managing doesn't work out for your tracksuit, I hope you can design stadiums.
Yeah, it'd be a great stadium. Be a lot of bars and far more washrooms than most stadiums.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of concessions,
and troughs,
it would just be
back. Troughs are back.
Oh, troughs would be
Absolutely.
Back?
Absolutely. Way more sense.
But for smaller fans, like for children.
Lance is nodding there.
But for children, like troughs are terrifying. And there's the splash
I went to English
problem.
Football in the 80s as a child, and the trough never hurt me.
Really?
Maybe my shoes. They get hurt.
Sure.
Right? Troughs aren't ideal for the shoes. But as far as getting in and out as quickly as possible, boom.
I remember
only way to go.
Being a kid, going to Tiger Stadium with the trough and hating the fact that you like had to go to the washroom. Because when you're a kid, you're like at a dangerous height level. Like I'm talking about, it's the splash that's the biggest fear. Mind you're lucky if you could even reach it to swing it over, right?
No, but I'm thinking about the real troughs actually in the ground. Like they're
Oh, the trenches.
Trenches, yeah, trench.
Yes.
Yeah, trench. Trench rather than trough.
As opposed to the garden trough that
was
at most stadiums. Okay.
The trench.
But I always feel like I'm like, you're peeing on the tile. Like, it's a weird feeling.
It is. It's just, you can just cram more people in there so you can get in and out quicker.
Whizzing on a wall.
Yeah.
I realized, by the way, that I have a police, a urination police dog because my dog, who tends to be terrified of things like umbrellas and children, hates people who he sees as, let's say, shifty characters of the night, okay? So if you're wearing a hood at night and he can't see you, he goes into, like, police mode. And it's not attack mode. It is simply, like, presence and alert mode. His chest comes out. He stands up, and the bark is terrifying.
He's protecting you.
So there's some, well, you know, I'm walking him around the pee pad. I was turned around picking something up, and he just, you could feel the tug on the end of the leash and then just hear it. And some unassuming man whizzing on the side of the condominium. The dog scared the hell out of both me and him. Yeah.
Good, really.
So if
public urination.
If you're urinating on the side of a harbor front condominium.
Avoid Samsonite.
Exactly.
What's his name?
Yeah, Samson.
Samson.
Yeah. Samsonite sounds great in your accent, though. speaking of accents, someone accused me of using a fake one on
I saw that,
Sports
yeah.
Central last night.
What was that about?
No idea, because
you don't do that.
I'd yelled penalty at one point. I never do an English accent.
No, you don't. No.
But I'd yelled penalty once, so unless he thinks that that's English and not Portuguese, but I think he thought it was you, because then I threw to your piece.
Oh, yeah, really?
So he probably thought, who's this Muppet?
Or did he not hear you throwing, and he thought that you were thrown to yourself and thought that your accent changed from your accent
that's
to me?
That's what I mean.
That's ridiculous.
Mm. See, people...
How drunk was he?
No idea.
Well,
I don't think it was a late night one. Tweet?
No. That's ridiculous.
Some of the ones that we get.
It's something.
And then we get four great ones every morning that we ignore every Monday morning.
I know, exactly. Well, listen, we should get to the England squad here. It's been announced. It is actually a 26-man squad.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, they were saying they just named the 23 last week, right? It's all changed. So there's a three-man taxi squad, as it were, potentially. But Marcus Rashford's name kind of is one thing that stands out as being picked. Doubt he'll go. Or will he? That is a question.
Mm.
Obviously, as one of the five strikers now, so you got people know this already, I'm sure. Kane, Rashford, Rooney, Sturridge, and Vardy. It sounds as if right now the most likely to be dropped would be Rashford, Delf, who don't know how he's there instead of Mark Noble, and probably Drinkwater. I'd say Townsend, but you need width, and he's a true winger, so he probably stays. So probably Drinkwater, and there's a lot of central midfielders there.
Are you looking at the picture that England tweeted, by the way? They tweeted like from each position.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
Well, anyone who sees it that came from the official England account, it's the official, all the nations have come out with an official stamp, and there's the Euro crest in the bottom left. Ross Barkley looks like he works out with our boy Akinfenwa. And anyone who's chosen to wear the long sleeves for picture day here looks considerably more fit. You know, every time we get a charity team, we always get given the white shirts and we hate it because it shows how unfit we are.
Yeah.
Ross Barkley, quite fit in white.
Yeah, really? Yeah. He's a fit guy. He's
guess
very
so.
Fit.
Yep.
I guess sadly, you don't win Euro by how much you can bench press.
No, I look at this squad, man, and I don't feel as confident as I did for you when we were talking about it before. I mean, Wilshere is talented, doesn't deserve to be in that squad.
Well, I think, I think his ability is
Townsend
such.
Has good ability. You really think he deserves to be in this squad?
Wilshere?
No, Townsend.
You need width, right? I mean, okay, you got Sterling there, you got Townsend. Walcott's not there, so he's really in there for Walcott, essentially, right? So, and he's played very well recently, so I'm fine with that. And he's played pretty well for England in the past. I mean, who else are your wide players? I mean, Milner can play there, but he's not really a wide player.
Right.
Lallana, you know, so I think you need some natural width.
I was going to say, yeah, Lallana's your only other option.
My thing about Rashford is, you know, it wouldn't be the first time they've picked a young guy with no experience, but in whose expense? And Rooney, is Rooney really seen as a centre forward? Isn't he more of a midfielder now? Mm-hmm. In which case, he replaces someone else. So it's interesting, but I think, you know.
Jermaine Defoe. He's kept Jermaine Defoe out of the squad.
I have no problems with this squad. And whoever leaves, and as I said, probably those guys. Mark Noble, I feel really bad for, given the year he's had. Did you see his quote?
No.
He's hit out pretty good. He says, I've had a great season, so naturally I'm upset. I'm not bitter towards Danny Drinkwater or Fabian Delph, but I'm a lot better than Danny, that's for sure. And Fabian is always injured. I've decided to retire from international football, at least until Roy leaves. Good luck over in France. I won't be watching. I'll be in Ibiza. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's your type of guy right there.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Some guys just don't appeal to international managers. Mark Noble's had a really good career at a good club, or admittedly a team that, you know, is kind of up and down. But I think he deserves to be there this year, given his play. Is he better than Drinkwater? There's a debate to be made there, right? But Drinkwater's got the success this year. But certainly, I know Delph is young, and he's featured in the past in qualifying and played okay for England.
He played well for Roy,
He's done nothing this season.
Yeah.
Right? He's done nothing. So I understand why Noble's upset, but usually it's best to keep your mouth shut in these situations. Not one cap for England.
You know what's funny
about... Not one cap.
It's pretty unfortunate. Well, I just want to know, will Michael Carrick be with him in Ibiza?
See, Carrick's another one, right? Just hasn't got the flavor of Roy Hodgson.
I think.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Hasn't got the flavor of Roy Hodgson.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Want to rack that back?
Wouldn't be a good flavor, would it? Anyway, we've discussed Carrick before, and he's such a smart player. And international football, you'd think fit in really well.
He hasn't
been a favorite of Hodgson's for a while.
If only he was Irish.
Yeah.
Or somewhere where he would have played.
Caps.
I don't know. I look at that midfield. I know it's a provisional squad there with the what did you call them? The three in the taxi squad?
Yeah, what are you going to call it?
But I don't know. It's just not intimidating the way I thought.
But, I mean, how could it be? They're not an intimidating team.
No, but you're right when you say, you know, Townsend is there because Walcott's not. And, like, Ox isn't there. And Wilshere on his day can be phenomenal. But I don't know. There's just something about it. There's just no, like, steel there. And like, Milner being the wily veteran.
Well, the steel you think would be Eric Dier, right? I mean, looking at the defenders, just three centre-backs, which could be a problem. I'm not confident with the defence. I mean, this team will live and die by its attack, I think, which is going to be fun to watch, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, I mean, listen, let's be honest. Chris Smalling, start of the year, great. Wasn't very good the second half of the season.
No.
Gary Cahill, I mean, he's a good servant and all, but he's hardly a world-class centre-back. John Stones, at times, is poor this year.
Yeah, he was.
Right? Look, really found out a little bit at Everton.
It'd still be him and Smalling to start, don't you think?
I think it'll be Cahill and Smalling.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cahill and Smalling?
I think so.
Oh.
Just from an experience standpoint.
I think Roy should have taken Phil Jagielka with him.
He's terrible this year, though, as
well. I don't know.
Worse than Stones.
I mean, they were quite poor as far as conceding the Toffees, their total, which is astronomical.
Yeah.
But so I thought as a partnership.
You want to take the Everton
No, but I thought as year? A I thought as a partnership.
They were what, the worst
defense
in
England? They were decent. No, not even close. Oh, sorry, they weren't Wes Morgan and Robert Huth, which still sounds hilarious.
It does a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh,
at the same point, it sounds amazing.
I like that Kyle Walker's there. And you know who's really good and never gets the credit? He's always that funny answer to the trivia question, who was on the pitch when Chelsea won? the Champions League, Ryan Bertrand.
Yep.
He's been very good this year. I was gutted that Villa couldn't keep hold of him.
I'm starting him over Rose.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, but Rose has played really well this year.
Yeah, no, he has. And that's a testament to Bertrand that I'm starting him because he's been great. He really has. But yeah, listen, it's not a team that's going to win Euro. It's as simple as that. But they'll get out of their group because if they don't, that's really embarrassing given the format.
Yeah.
And then they'll lose to Portugal in the knockout phase.
Right. On penalties.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Can they even match up Portugal and England in the quarterfinals?
I don't think they'd match up on paper either.
16.
This is the worst Portuguese team that Ronaldo's ever played on.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Unproven. Yeah,
it's not good, is it? I mean, qualifying, such a weak group. And if it wasn't Ronaldo doing the job, then no one was doing it. Danny's out too, right?
Again?
Yeah, he's out for Euro.
No.
I believe. Check that out. I'm pretty sure he is.
Contrao. Is that recent?
Contrao is.
Yeah, Contrao. Well, when was the last time you heard his name bantered about?
Yeah, well, that's true.
In China transfer rumors, maybe. Him and, who's the older guy I'm thinking of? Older guy. No. I'm thinking of someone going to China because no one else wants him. It's John Terry.
Oh, yeah, no, I saw that. Right. Well, apparently Chelsea do want him. Although if you read some of the people close to Chelsea, it's like they're extending a contract offer that's very refusable. But at least they're doing the right thing for the fans there. We're trying to get him back. But if he leaves, not a big deal.
Danny, the Portuguese footballer, is one of the trickiest ones to Google because like if you type in like Danny Portugal, and you get some like artist.
Danny Portugal.
Yeah, exactly.
Like spinning this weekend, Danny Portugal. Right,
there's some YouTube sensation. There's a DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember the great stories? We need to have Danny Dicchio on the next podcast if we ever do another.
Yeah, we should.
And have him talk about his DJ
anecdotes.
Story.
Yeah, I know.
Right? The next time like Dobby's away because he died at some music fest, let's get DJ Danny Dicchio to come in.
For sure.
I asked him if he'd DJ the wedding when I eventually have one.
Right.
And he laughed and said, absolutely no, Danny.
No chance.
There's
really?
My fake accent I was trying to put on.
Yeah, right.
Just to piss off the Twitter guy. In Danny's Wikipedia picture, he looks very Sergio Aguero-esque.
Does he?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's pretty much where it begins and ends. But yeah, Portugal, not a great squad, that's for sure. Mm. What do you think about the chances of Giovinco getting picked up by the Italian team?
Yeah, I think TFC fans should be terrified because I think he's absolutely proven his worth. And you think of the fact, in years past, you've kind of had your automatic pencil-ins. That's not there anymore with Fabio Quagliarella gone and Mario Balotelli gone. You know, I think he absolutely deserves it. I mean, and this is not to take shots at the Serie A. We don't watch as much Serie A as we used to. But you look at some of the options that Conte has.
They have not got a lot there.
No. And they're not very experienced.
They'll still do enough to get to the semifinals, though, probably. They always do.
But it's not going to be from the goals up front.
No.
And for, you know, this what I don't understand, and this comes from the Serie A super fans who think that any critique of players who aren't playing for Champions League clubs in Italy, aren't of top caliber. The league is just not what it was before. And I know that Giovinco didn't thrive in the Serie A like he's thrived
in MLS.
Well, he did
thrive prior to 2 years at Juventus, right? When he played
for Parma,
scored goals and for Juve 1 year. Right?
Yeah.
But no, I'm with you. That touch on that first goal on the weekend for TFC is the best touch I've seen since Zidane.
Really?
Just chortling.
Oh,
there.
Just.
But it was incredible.
Just wanted,
it was an amazing goal. Yeah. It really was. That outside of his foot and brought it into space. It was incredible. I would bring him and he's not going to start games, and that's fine, but he just provides that X factor that I think is lacking in that team.
Mm.
Off the bench, he looked really good late in qualifying. I know against some pretty questionable teams, but still, he provides that X factor. And MLS isn't that bad, people. Okay,
no.
It's not quality of Serie A or the Premier League. We understand that, but it's not bad. And quite frankly, I'd rather see him play each week in MLS and get better than, sit on the bench and rot in the Serie A, which is what he's doing at Juventus. So I would pick him for sure because he just provides something that otherwise isn't there off the bench in a close game.
Yeah. Yeah. And you look at some of the other options that people argue, like Andrea Bertolacci. I'd rather take the little man, wouldn't you? Like Stefano Okaka or Federico Bernardeschi. Like, I know they've had decent seasons, not to take anything away from what they've done in Italy, But I think Giovinco is ready. I think he deserves it. And to be honest, this is the tournament. Give him this opportunity. Let him see what you can do. I don't think Italy's going to France expecting to win.
No.
They always expect to contend, and they always seem to contend with the teams
we had We had someone asking us, who are perhaps a dark horse. Michael Colmone. Colmone? I don't know. Anyway, he asks, dark horse of a Euro seems like it has to be one of Germany or France who will win it. I'll throw Spain in that mix as well. I still think they're ready for a bounce back tournament.
But really,
I would consider Italy a dark horse.
Yeah.
Because they're Italy and defensively they can always get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Along with, Belgium looking pretty good on paper at least, aren't they? But they always look good on paper.
This is only their second tournament with expectations, right?
Yeah.
Considerably higher expectations than before.
But perhaps more question marks going into this tournament, given that there's no company. Benteke was poor this season. Now, De Bruyne is being fantastic.
Yeah.
Really well.
You say no company, but just put Alderweireld and Vertonghen next to each other, that's and they're fine.
I was reading some articles about when company went out and announced he wasn't playing at Euro and very few people actually would mention Vertonghen's name. It's like, how can you not mention this guy's name? He's outstanding.
He had a spell, and I forget if it was end of last year or the start of this year, where he looked complete rubbish.
He was a lot
and
of injuries.
Written him off.
I'm bad, but aside from one stint on the sidelines this year.
Yeah. And everywhere else, Alderweireld had played as a wingback.
Yeah.
So I don't even know
Is he playing right-sided on the right for Belgium? That's the question. But still, you're right. They've got a lot of depth there. I think they'll be fine. Belgium's definitely a dark horse.
We're still dark horse hunting here. I'm refreshing my mind with the grouping.
Who's there, you mean? I know. The same way. Like,
Who's
there again? Who's playing at Euro?
Oh, yeah. Well, I couldn't remember where Sweden were, but they've got that difficult group E, Belgium, Italy, and Ireland.
Sweden's not a dark horse, though.
But wouldn't you be surprised if Zlatan did something crazy? This is his last tournament.
You can't win a tournament on the basis of one player. Unless his name's Leo Messi, which hasn't happened either.
Mm.
I just don't think you can. Let's see.
But isn't it about time we see that?
Would you put England as a dark horse, as a neutral over there? A dark horse?
I wanted to, really. I was very excited about this squad until I saw Roy's squad now, and I'm not as excited. And maybe that isn't fair, and maybe that will change when you see the 11, when you see the familiarity on the pitch, I think, as well. That could be. I really did rate them highly, and they could quite easily still win Group B, but I don't know. I'm not as convinced as I want it to be as a neutral.
Yep. Fair enough. We'll find out pretty soon as well. Before we leave today, we should get to very quickly Barcelona. They win their sixth La Liga in 8 years. Suarez wins the golden boot, as it were. Was it Pichichi, they call it?
The Pichichi.
Pichichi. That's the Pichichi. Three more goals, 37 on the season.
Yeah.
Wow, what a campaign. I asked a question on Twitter where he rates in the world right now. Right? And I said, number three is definitely possible. Got some pretty good feedback, actually.
I think if it's not him, you're talking Neymar 3. I regularly describe Neymar as 3.
Canadian for LFC says, James, I can't count past 1. He thinks he's the best. And given his performance this year, I see the argument now more than in the past. Certainly.
Yeah. But this is the sad thing for people who don't want to hear that, is that Messi and Ronaldo are only going to have poorer years. They're on the downside of their world-classness. Right.
And
they could still be 1-2.
We're comparing them to their previous years, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, he didn't score 40 goals this year.
But the gap has considerably closed.
It has. And that's why I think Neymar Suarez could well get the Ballon d'Or this year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Ben Granero, I don't know if he's trolling here. He goes, put him on an average team, he wouldn't crack the top 20. That is harsh. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. It helps that you're playing with Messi and Neymar. Of course it does.
But he played at Liverpool
and was incredible.
Took them to second place when they were really hitting above their weight.
Exactly. Dusky Springfield says, Messi number 1, number 2 injured Messi, number 3 Suarez. I like that too.
Injured Messi.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't like it because you hate Portuguese people. Clearly, he's just.
Someone asked me, as a Liverpool fan, do I enjoy a success at Barcelona? I do. And I said it was time he left Liverpool. I was getting bored of his antics. And I really was. And obviously, it's a huge loss. I don't dislike Suarez per se. I think he's got some questionable elements of his character, clearly. He can't control himself, although he seems to have stepped it up the last couple of years. But yeah, I just like watching him play.
So do I.
He's amazing. He really is.
I'm a huge fan. Since we're speaking about South Americans, one tweet from Greg Petrie, Our Dumb World. Great Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any interest in the upcoming Copa America Centenario? Yes. However, there's so much football going on. I can't think about that yet.
Yep.
I mean, and it's such a busy offseason with Euro, Copa, which will be stateside and should be great. I would certainly hope so. And then you have the Olympics as well, which I know you get really fired up for. No, you don't.
The what, sorry?
The Olympics.
I do. Yeah, absolutely. I do. Are you kidding me?
Football at the Olympics?
Olympics is great.
Really? Yeah. I remember having a huge argument about waking up for games during Beijing, and you and that other guy that used to work with us.
There was a time when I had less interest in it, for sure. Huh. But it's grown on me recently.
Do you remember? I'm pretty sure I can say this because we trust Lance to just bleep it anyway. We were talking Olympic soccer. You and our friend despised it. Had no business in me talking about it. But it was exciting that year. And I forget who else was there. Maybe Ronaldinho had gone. Like Brazil were trying to win that elusive gold medal. And we had Ray Hudson on. And I said, I know these guys hate Olympic soccer, but I know you've been watching because there's a guy that you don't see enough of anymore, which was his favorite player. And he goes, without me even prompting or saying the player's name, goes, oh man, Juan Román Riquelme. I'm virtually myself watching him play, man.
I remember that.
Died laughing. Yep.
No, listen, I can admit when I'm wrong or I've evolved, and I do enjoy Olympic soccer now. I'm watching, you know, the Canadian women last time out was as compelling football as I've ever seen. Those matches were unbelievable. Mm-hmm. With the drama, the controversy, what it meant for Canadian soccer, it was something very special. And I think that really allowed me to embrace it more, that's for sure. Good. Didn't think that was possible.
I'm glad to hear that.
So, yeah, I'm happy that I'm a great man can admit when he's wrong. And I fully support Olympic soccer now. All right, listen, we're out of time, B.
It flew by.
I know, it did, didn't it?
Was this pot as meaningful for you as it was for me?
No.
It's the last one of the season. Who knows if we'll be back?
I know. Who knows?
The world could change.
But we could be back more than ever. You never know. Glass is half full, right?
That's how I look at life.
Yep.
Except when it comes to my teams now. Yeah, well, good luck, Portugal.
Look forward to there.
Hello, championship.
All right, B. Listen, well, thank you for a wonderful season. It was fun.
Yes, it was.
It's nice to reunite once again, once a week.
I look forward to sleeping longer Sunday nights now.
Yeah, you should. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Behind the glass, Lance Kennedy, who enjoys doing this show more than any other show he does in the fam, which is pretty much every show, I think.
I don't think he does other shows. Didn't he only do this one? He always goes off to the gym after the show.
Doesn't he just come in for this show?
I do Walker's show as well. 1 to 4, Monday to Friday.
Yeah, how's that? So like from lots of soccer to like zero soccer.
Or anti-soccer.
Yeah, the anti-soccer comments hurt when he says that.
Yeah.
In fairness, Walker almost got me on his show 2 weeks ago, and I was booked. And it was around Leicester winning the title.
Wow.
But then I was also on Blundell's show that morning and on Primetime Sports.
Uh-huh.
And they said that's too much Charmin, which is fair enough.
You can't afford them that many times a day.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I charge about $2,000 for my 5-minute hit.
I thought Walker bumped you for Sports Tinder with Jackie Redmond. And that was why.
It's quite possible. But anyway, hope you enjoyed this season. I'm sure you enjoyed the season, but not so much the podcast. But for those of you that are hanging on, giving us every chance to improve, we do appreciate it. We also apologize profusely.